groups.
Yeah.
Babies are going to be great.
Yeah. I'd like to welcome everyone to the work session of the North Salt Lake City Council meeting of June 7th. And the first item is a presentation by the Jordan River Commission. Stan, do I turn this over to you or just let him go?
Mayor,
Soren, do you want to?
Prior to that, we have some staff introductions. I apologize for
that. Oh, I missed that.
No, I missed putting it on your notes there. Sorry. So we can start with Heidi, I think. We'll let Heidi begin introducing her new employees. Employee, I should say.
We do have a new employee in the utility billing. April's been with us since April,
Yeah.
Coincidentally. If you have come in at all during the day, she's bubbly and outgoing, and we have just loved having her in the office. She's bilingual. She's been a huge asset to our residents as they've come in and had different questions. But I also wanted to tell you a little bit about her and her background, because she's got a really interesting background. So she studied in Philadelphia at Temple University, mm-hmm. but ended up graduating from the University of Utah with a double major in international studies and political science. Her favorite color is pink. She actually grew up in North Salt Lake and going to Hatch Park, and so she's been a longtime fan of the city. She's the first in her family to graduate college. That was a really big deal. And despite COVID, she got to actually have a ceremony and all of that. I think she had two separate events that happened there. She is the youngest in her family. She's got one older sister, and she's got a dog and two cats and a boyfriend named Francisco. They've been together for 4 years. And she enjoys traveling quite a bit. She's been to New York and Florida and Paris and Mexico. Where else am I missing?
Spain.
Yeah, that's right. She studied abroad as well during her college career. So she just comes with a lot of experience, a really great personality, and we're excited to have her as part of our team.
Awesome.
Did I forget anything?
No.
Okay.
I'm really happy to be here, and I'm grateful for everybody that I've met in the city, and the city's like a big part of not only me, but my family as well. We've been here since my parents came from Mexico, and it's really honoring to be able to be in the community that I grew up in.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Welcome.
Welcome.
So now that Heidi set the bar really high, yeah. I'm going to just miss the bar completely. So this is Sandra Halliday. She is our code enforcement officer. She's been with us since last September, and we didn't have the opportunity to bring her in to introduce her to you. She came to us originally from the Division of Insurance for the state, and then she worked for Larry H. Miller for a few years. But we are just thrilled to have her doing code enforcement in our department now, because she's spectacular. She works with the citizens so well when they have code violations, and has gotten compliance on so many cases that we have had difficulty in the past getting compliance from. In fact, finding solutions. We had one business owner that she helped find a solution for his problem with sandblasting that wasn't permitted. And he actually came back afterwards and thanked her for introducing him to the technology that's gonna save him money and help his employees do a better job. So we can't say enough good things about Sandra, but we are happy to have her with us in doing code enforcement.
Can I just say that I am really trying. I know my neighbors are probably calling you and complaining, but I'm really trying to make my yard look better. I'm trying. So go easy on me.
He doesn't get a pass, just letting you know. Doesn't get a pass.
Right. Well, no, I'm just happy to be here. And everyone here at the city has been really fantastic. I pretty much have worked for as a regulator for the insurance department. So I wasn't new to an ordinance, but it's a little bit different, you know, with city council and the ordinances versus legislators and the state statute. So I'm just really happy to be here, and I want to thank you for the opportunity.
She told me that she wished she had known sooner that cities also participate in the Utah retirement system, because she would have left the state sooner and come to a city.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sharon? Sharon Smalden is our new permit technician. She has been here since January, and she has done a fantastic job. So when we first started and we put her in that desk, a couple weeks later we got our new building official and we started transitioning to our online permit system, and she has been a rock star learning this system, unlike any of us ever wanted to or thought we could. And I have just been so pleased with her performance, and she's a great asset to our property. She came to us from Wayfair. She was a customer service representative. I'm not sure if I remember the title, and I don't know your favorite color.
Green.
It's green. Woo! But we're just thrilled to death to have her here. She's doing a terrific job, and she's been great with the public on the phones and setting up inspections, and just she's been able to help the developers and the contractors learn this new permitting software and sit on the phone with them and talk them through the process of setting up their accounts. And so she's been really valuable in that aspect. And learning a job that somebody else was doing for 25 years that her boss didn't know all of the details of has just been amazing, and she's had incredible patience with the rest of the staff.
Thank you. Well, I was just born and raised here in Utah. Grew up in Ogden, and apparently, I've just realized this the other day, I'm migrating south. I don't know what's happening, but I moved from Ogden to Layton. I did a two-year program with Layton Christian Academy as a house parent and raised high school boys from foreign countries for 2 years. Did that, and then changed jobs, and then I was with Wayfair while I did that, and then moved to West Valley from Layton, and I've been there ever since. But then I decided I got tired of working with business customers at Wayfair, so I changed jobs and found this one online, and I wasn't going to apply for it. My son said, "Mom, apply." And I said, "Okay." So I applied and missed my first interview. And I thought, "Oh no, I've blown it. I am not going to get this job." And so then I called and we talked about it, and she was gracious enough to schedule me a second interview. And I,
those darn junk folders when they send you the appointments in Gmail.
Yeah. And so then had my interview that next morning, and she called me after lunch and offered me the position, and I was so grateful, and I've been grateful.
Sorry. We're happy to have her on our team.
You were soon. I'm just happy to be here. I love it.
Thank you.
And Cameron? Cameron? So Cameron is our new building official. As you recall, Larry retired at the beginning of the year. He started in February. He's worked for, he came directly from Springville. Prior to that, he was with Vineyard, and prior to becoming a building inspector, he worked in Texas and did some HVAC, or building?
Building management.
Building management. So he knows all about HVAC. That was like a huge, I was really looking for that when I was interviewing building officials, because I was tired of dealing with the HVAC alone and not knowing what I was doing. So I'm so happy to have him here. But he is a rock star. When I called his references, they just gushed over how fast he got all of his certifications. He's driven, he knows this codes, he has more certifications than would be required for the minimum, but he's really a great building official. He's learning our culture here and enjoying everything that we have with our building, or with our contractors out in the field. He lives in Orem, and an interesting fact, he has twins.
Yes.
They keep him pretty hopping, I think. Anyway, this is Cameron.
Yes, so I've been around, I guess. So grew up in Northern California. My parents live in Washington, so I got my associates there, came to Utah for my bachelor's, and Actually, I served an LDS mission in Ogden, Utah, so I actually served 4.5 months here in North Salt Lake, so it's interesting driving around and still seeing things that, you know, you recognize a little bit. So it's been around. Yeah, I went to Texas for 4 years and then came back up here and became an inspector and been doing it since. And glad I came back up here. I actually used to work in Texas. I was working as a building manager for a third-party company, pretty big, but they did... they managed buildings for schools, did stuff, and they actually offered me. I had an option to go to either California or come back to Utah. And I'm glad I came back to Utah because with COVID hitting, I probably would have been laid off with all the schools closing. So that's where I would have been, was working for a school. So it's been good. And I'm really loving it here. It's been great. Sherry's been great. Everyone, you know, Ken, everyone's been great to work with. I always tell them, Springville was different stuff. I think Ken has a little understanding of that as well, but it's just been really good here. I really, you know, just everything, the people, there's a lot. Springville is much more divided, I guess, in departments, but there's been a lot. Just when I go to Public Works, when I go to talk to people, as I just have, you know, with all the different people I've interacted with, it really feels like it's a community here in the whole city. And it's been really nice to have that, where, you know, in Springville, where I was at, it felt more like, you know, there is them and us and them, and everybody kind of did their own thing. You didn't really talk too much. So it's been really great to be here. I'm really enjoying it.
And so now my family department is complete, and I'm not letting anyone leave ever again until I retire. Then I'll be the next one to leave. So, but you've got lots of years before that happens. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Soren, we turn it over to you here.
That was really terrific to meet all of you and get to know those of you that we'd already known a little bit. So just wanted to say that.
Well, thank you, Mayor and members of the council. It's good to be back with you. It's been a while, and there's some new faces on the council. Welcome. I am Soren Simonson, the executive director of the Jordan River Commission. And I'm just going to share with you briefly this evening an update of a project we've been working on for the last several years. Some of you may be familiar with the Blueprint Jordan River, which was the community vision created back in 2008 that led to the creation of the agency that I work for, the Jordan River Commission. And in 2018, as that original vision for improving and sustaining the Jordan River reached its 10-year mark, we were thinking about, you know, what do we do next? There's been a lot of accomplishments. There's more that we need to do. There's some changes that are going on across the region. And so we decided as a governing board to update that document, which is provided for in our interlocal agreement. And we've been working on this for a few years. Ted Knowlton's agency, the Wasatch Front Regional Council, very generously provided the funding, the bulk of the funding for this, along with a number of other partners. And we have just recently adopted the updated blueprint. We're working on the final printing and getting all of that into its final form. And we'll be providing copies of that to your city here in the next few weeks. So I'll just kind of walk through and feel free to ask any questions. I know time's short because you've got some time-sensitive matters on your agenda for your work session, so I'll try and do this briefly. I'm happy to answer any questions as time allows at the end. I just wanted to acknowledge some of the partners that have been involved. You can see the logos for many of these on the screen. UDOT, Salt Lake County, and the Transportation Land Use Connection Program of Wasatch Front Regional Council were the main funders of this update to the blueprint. And then we had a number of other partners, Rocky Mountain Power, the Nature Conservancy, UTA, Department of Environmental Quality, Fish and Wildlife Service, and the Commission provided other support for that. And I should mention Utah's Hobel Zoo as well. I won't spend a lot of time on the history of the Jordan River. Hopefully you all know this resource well in your community. It's changed a lot over the years as this area has grown and urbanization has happened. It's about a 50-mile river, and you happen to be in the community where the river ends as it enters Farmington Bay of the Great Salt Lake. I know there's a lot of focus on the Great Salt Lake right now, and Davis County is particularly interested in that, and probably North Salt Lake as well. And as we think about the health of the Great Salt Lake, obviously our attention turns to the tributaries, of which the Jordan River is one of the major tributaries to the lake. This is just a highlight, and I know you can't read that text on your screen, but one of the things we did was to highlight some of the accomplishments of work that was outlined in that original blueprint, Jordan River, in several different areas around partnerships and programs and projects. This refresh, as we've been calling it, of the blueprint that was really launched in with Envision Utah as the lead consultant and a team of technical experts back in 2020. We signed the contract about a month before the pandemic was declared, and everything changed. So the summer that we were planning to do a lot of town hall meetings and events up and down the Wasatch Front was kind of pivoted, and we're grateful for to the work of Envision Utah and the consulting team that helped change this to a very different kind of format for public input. We had several online focus groups. We had probably 150 technical experts in seven different areas of expertise, from public safety to recreation to development and community development to homeless issues to water quality and water quantity and water rights and resources to natural habitat and wildlife. And those advisors provided a lot of the real framework for this update to the Blueprint Jordan River. We had an online survey the summer of 2020 as more people than ever, as they were looking for things to do during those early months of the pandemic. So we posted signs along the Jordan River Parkway. We had over 8,000 responses to the survey. The original blueprint had about 2,000 responses, so quite an increase in public participation. And then we spent time working with our technical advisory committee on kind of advising on the development of this blueprint as well. And this just summarizes some of that public outreach from some of the major responses. I think in that image, the graph on the bottom right, the thing that really jumped out at us is just how important the Jordan River Parkway is to residents and users of the parkway across the Wasatch Front region. The top graphic, I think, is also very telling. The top two things that people would most love to see happen in the Jordan River, the top one is natural open space with public access, but the second one is natural open space with limited public access. And of course, the most substantive preserve along the Jordan River is here in North Salt Lake, the Legacy Nature Preserve, which, while not many people go into the preserve, it serves just a really critical habitat and wildlife function for the entire region. And it's really great that past leaders have put that into place. This blueprint is a little bit different from the original blueprint, which was kind of focused on bringing together and creating a vision. This update to the blueprint is much more focused on the strategic side of how do we implement that. So we reconfirmed a lot of the goals. There were some new ones that emerged from the original blueprint, and but there's a lot more focus on, you know, who are the partners and what are the ways to implement some of these big ideas that we have for the Blueprint Jordan River. It's divided into seven sections that cover a variety of different topics relative to the Jordan River Parkway, from natural habitat to water and the river, comfort and inclusivity, recreation, safety and well-being, development and transportation, and communications, education, the arts. A couple of these are new sections that weren't standalone sections in the original blueprint, and some other ones like development and transportation were combined together because they're closely related. So I'm going to walk you through just some highlights from the seven chapters of the Blueprint Jordan River and some of the major goals and strategies. Some of these will have a little arrow next to them, and those are strategies that are really pretty new in this update to the Blueprint Jordan River. So protecting and preserving natural open space, that was really the basis for the original blueprint. There wasn't much that was updated, but a lot of goals were reconfirmed, and we saw, like we did in the original blueprint, just a lot of interest and focus on preserving and restoring natural areas wherever possible. That includes this goal of optimizing habitat and natural ecosystems. A lot more focus in this plan on monitoring, as we've implemented a lot of partnerships and programs over the last roughly 15 years. There was a lot of interest in monitoring. What kind of progress are we seeing? And some funding partners like the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that are doing major work, and the Mitigation Reclamation Conservation Commission that are doing major work with wildlife refuge areas along the river, are very interested in seeing what the benefit and the positive impacts of those restoration efforts are. Providing resources to landowners. A lot of our focus in the original blueprint was on public agencies and all of the public lands around the river. There's a lot more focus in this update to things we can do working in partnership with homeowners, business owners, institutions, and other property owners, because there's a role that they all play, whether it's updating their landscapes to be more habitat friendly, or managing weeds or things like that, dealing with water. And we know a lot of the focus on water conservation, water preservation also impacts a lot of private property owners as well. There are maps throughout that correspond with each of these chapters, and I won't spend any time on those. They're very small on the screen. We have retained this gold, silver, bronze element of the original blueprint, which kind of highlights areas of the Jordan River with different levels of preservation based on what's historically happened in those areas. And of course, most of North Salt Lake is in a gold zone, and that means that there's a lot of existing land that serves a really important habitat, including the Legacy Nature Preserve, and we want to see that enhanced and continued to serve that important function. One of the important elements of the plan that came out was a lot more focus on water. The original blueprint really just focused on about a half mile on either side of the river. And while that's really important for habitat and recreation, development, and those sorts of things, what we've learned about water over the last decade is just how critical the watershed is. Of course, we've seen a lot of that with the focus on the Great Salt Lake and millions, tens of millions of dollars that are being invested right now in better understanding the Great Salt Lake watershed. And there's a lot of implications for the Jordan River as one of the major parts of the Great Salt Lake watershed. So there's a lot more focus on thinking strategically about both the diversions from the Jordan River, and you'll see one of the highlights here, the canals and the creeks and water management as it relates to the Jordan River and that whole watershed area, which covers an area of about 3,800 square miles. And then also better managing stormwater. The biggest pollutants in the river right now mostly come from the stormwater system. The Clean Water Act, which celebrates its 50th anniversary this year, dealt with a lot of the point source pollutants. And so really now it's pollution that comes from across the community, because most storm drains, at least up till 2020 when the rules changed at the state level, most storm drains lead directly to the Jordan River or tributary. And so thinking more about managing stormwater is a critical component of this plan. Managing natural river flows and functions is something that we're looking at more closely with this, and that relates to the watershed, but it also relates to the river itself. There's some really amazing projects like the Galena Preserve and the Big Bend Preserve and Nature Park, which are the south end of the Salt Lake Valley, which have really contributed to thinking about the river system as a natural system in places that that can still happen. And of course, the Legacy Nature Preserve is a really important part of that, which provides critical floodplain and filtering of the water before it enters the Great Salt Lake. I won't spend a lot of time on this, but this is kind of a carryover from the original blueprint, looking at hydrological functions of the river as well. We are anticipating, with the impacts of climate change, we're already seeing this. You know, last summer we had two, I think, 50-year flood events within about 2 weeks of each other, with massive rainstorms. And the predictions are we'll see more of these really massive kind of rain events and less in our snowpack. And that will have an effect on some of those hydrologic functions. So it's something we have to be very sensitive, especially preserving floodplain and those sorts of things. The next section, the next chapter, focuses on this goal of making this a welcoming place for all abilities, backgrounds, and circumstances. Of course, when we were doing our survey during the pandemic, some of the racial tensions that we saw across the country, I think that really affected people's perceptions about who they see, but also who they don't see on the Jordan River Parkway. There are a lot of neighborhoods near the Jordan River Parkway, especially those that are serving communities that have very diverse populations, and those aren't always well connected to the Jordan River Parkway. We're working on a project in Mill Creek right now near a neighborhood that has a really high new immigrant population, very diverse, and there's no connection to the Jordan River Parkway that's just a stone's throw away. So we're working with communities, particularly in the Mid-Valley area, South Salt Lake, West Valley, Mill Creek, and other places, to provide better access to a resource that's not always been very accessible. We're also looking at ways to better manage the trash and things like that that collect and accumulate. Much of that comes from the storm system or just careless users. One of the strategies is to improve not only signs and information that urge people to be conscientious, both in the parkway and outside of the parkway, but also we've just seen a huge explosion of volunteer activity. We now have a fleet of 24 canoes and kayaks, and probably from April until about October, we have three or four events every week. We've got four of them this week where people are going out on boats and helping to take care of the river that they enjoy recreating in. And it's just really been amazing to see that level of stewardship. This is a new area that's pretty substantial because we've seen a big increase in homeless activity around the Jordan River, particularly in Salt Lake, South Salt Lake, and the Mill Creek and West Valley area. I don't know that a lot of that has expanded into North Salt Lake, but through some of the funding we get from the state legislature, which goes to law enforcement programs, and some really innovative ideas, such as one that we're doing again in the second year this year of taking the Salt Lake Justice Court out on the river in canoes to help people that are experiencing homelessness that may have barriers due to warrants and other things. We're actually doing adjudication right on the river with a judge and public defenders and others to help remove some of those barriers and get people access to housing. Really cool, innovative ideas that have come trying to brainstorm how we improve some of the situations. Of course, homelessness is a regional issue, and it's been great to see the legislature focusing more attention and effort and resources. We have more funding being invested in affordable housing and supportive services this year than ever that I'm aware of in the history of the state to help get people into housing and get the services that they need. Recreation, of course, is one of the hallmarks of the Jordan River Parkway, and one of the major goals that we've added is just looking at better ways to do maintenance. Again, as an organization, we rely a lot on volunteers, and it's just incredible to see the workforce. We've launched two programs that I want to just highlight around a program we call Love Your Watershed. On the first Friday of every month, we do social media promotion, and we encourage everybody, no matter where they are across the Wasatch Front, to clean up any litter and grass clippings and leaves and things like that around their homes and businesses that may be in a parking lot or in a curb and gutter, because it all, when it gets in the storm drain, ends up in the Jordan River or other tributaries. This year, we started that program about 2 years ago now, in the summer of 2020. This year, we also launched a second Saturday event. One of those is coming up this Saturday, and we're working with communities up and down the Jordan River watershed to get people cleaning up those areas around parks and open space, parking lots and highways near the Jordan River. We're developing a better partnership with UDOT, particularly to focus on the 16 major arteries that cross the Jordan River across its length, and that's had great support so far this year. We continue to develop recreation opportunities. We were so excited to partner with North Salt Lake in extending the Jordan River Parkway Trail. Allie Avery on your staff was just a huge supporter, writing grants and getting everything. We provided, I think, a little bit of the funding to help support that, but it was great a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago now, to see that last extension up to Center Street completed and tie in with other infrastructure here. We're also doing a lot of work right now. Of course, the Porter's Landing here in North Salt Lake was the first of several new boat launches. We've seen a total of 8 new boat launches added in the last year, and there's currently about another 3 or 4 that are under construction. So we will have added about a dozen new boat launches and portages along the Jordan River over the last year and a half. And it's been great to see the increase in activity around the recreation in the river, from fishing and swimming to boating and canoeing, kayaking. Safety and security are important improvements. We're doing a lot more work right now, and we'll continue to better coordinate across law enforcement agencies to address things we don't want to see and to encourage and address behaviors that keep people from recreating. We have tried to walk a fine line in sensitivity around lighting. You know, lighting is great for safety and security, but it has a real negative impact in the wrong places for wildlife. And so what we're focusing on here is lighting in parking lots and trailheads where people may be coming and going early in the morning or late at night at the beginning or end of an outdoor recreation activity. But along the trailway itself, we haven't included any recommendations to add lighting because we want to keep the trail safe and supportive of wildlife, and lighting can be a real detriment to some of the wildlife activity. And then we're just doing a lot of work to mitigate. Some of this connects to the homeless activity, but there's a lot of wildfire risk, particularly managing invasive species like Phragmites, which is highly flammable, and you get a portable propane tank or an outdoor fire. And we've seen, I think last year, 10 wildfires along the Jordan River. Some of them came pretty close to some neighborhoods. So there is fire risk and wildfire risk. There's also flooding risk with some of the intense storms, and we want to make sure we're mitigating those risks as well. Enhancing regional connections as a transportation corridor. You know, we often think about the Jordan River Parkway as a recreation amenity, but as a lot of businesses are developing and business areas, business parks, town centers along the Jordan River, we're seeing a lot more people using it to commute. I get almost weekly people asking, you know, there's a trail closure and I use the trail to get to work. And, you know, is there a detour? And so we're encouraging transportation agencies or public utilities that have to do routine projects to be very conscientious about the commuting aspects and try and raise awareness about alternative routes and bypasses and detours. Stan helped us with an event we had in May because there was a detour on the Legacy Trail that has affected a lot of bicyclists, and it's great to see UDOT, you know, putting in signage and creating alternatives when they have to do that kind of construction. So we really see this as a regional transportation corridor. One of the other things that we're highlighting, while most of the focus on the Jordan River Parkway is to preserve natural aspects, we also recognize there are maybe three or four key locations where development is already very near the river. The State Fair Park is one of those. Although a lot of the development around the State Fair Park kind of turns its back on the river, we are looking at areas where the river becomes kind of the center of activity, of community and culture. And the Fair Park is one of those places that's kind of unique across the Jordan River. We supported the Fair Park and worked with them on their recent master plan that will look at the river much more as a front of house instead of kind of a back of house. And it's exciting to see some of those changes now being envisioned. We also want to make sure infrastructure, including stormwater infrastructure, works to accomplish some of these goals. And as communities are looking at updating storm systems, we love to see innovative work happening. The Cornell crossing at 10th North in Salt Lake City, the city took an underutilized part of real estate that they owned, and they've converted that whole area into a water treatment facility for stormwater. So rather than the water coming off the street and going right into the river, it now goes through a garden area that filters biofiltration, has created some water features, a community garden, a boat access to the river, and a lot of other things that have really changed the way that water interacts, stormwater interacts with the river. Then the last section, just want to highlight here, wayfinding is important as more people are using the trail, especially a lot of people for the first time. They want to make sure they know where they're going. So we're in the process of updating the map of the Jordan River to include the new North Salt Lake section. We're also excited about a lot of the interconnectivity with other trails. You can now go all the way from Ogden to Provo on a trail network that we call the Golden Spoke. And we've worked with Wasatch Front Regional Council and other partners to promote that with an annual event. We just had our fifth annual Golden Spoke Ride. We were so excited to have two members of your city council and many others that participated in that event just a few weeks ago. And we're doing some updating and branding to kind of take that to the next level in the next year. There are great learning opportunities. I think we have something like 25 schools that are located within about a half mile of the Jordan River, and we are developing education programming and ways to bring hands-on learning activities, whether it's science or learning how to ride a bike and using the trail as a resource or the river as a resource for some of those activities that are happening in the schools. Really cool stuff happening. There's a lot of art and placemaking that's going on. We have several grant programs available to help support those, and we love to see communities that are investing in arts and cultural and other opportunities as well. The appendix of the document references a number of documents that have been developed in the past, including the original blueprint, all of the survey work and other things from this update to the Jordan River and other resources that are important to have at your fingertips. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions or comments you might have. I know this has been a little bit of a whirlwind, but thank you for your time and your interest. Councilmember Porter has been a great representative of your community. I think he's our longest serving governing board member since the inception of the Jordan River Commission. So
he's our longest serving one too.
On your council as well. But we appreciate all of his insights and great expertise and just a real passion for the river. He leads a lot of paddles on the river and bike rides and things like that. And it's great to have support from this community and so many others. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Soren, thanks for that great presentation. And we'll take a look at the blueprint and kind of think about, well, what should we do locally? If you have an initial suggestion of, let's say, a top line item that you think, you know, North Salt Lake, you could take a look at fill in the blank to implement the new blueprint. That's my question.
You know, there are so many things you're doing already that have been great. The extension of the trail, the interconnectivity of your recreation resources, the investment in the water trail. You know, it's hard to pick something that you're not already working on. I've been working with Sherry and her team over the last year with some annexation interests. I think that annexation is not going to happen, as I understand, into North Salt Lake that's been contemplated over the last couple of years. But, you know, preserving areas around the river for some of those natural river functions, I think, is probably the most important. Of course, a lot of your current riverfront development, you know, has already mostly been developed and platted. But in some of those annexation areas that you're exploring for future annexation into North Salt Lake, maybe not including the Crossy Ranch area, but others, you know, think about as those areas may be annexed in and putting into place some of the protections. Another thing that I might encourage you to look at is what your preservation toolkit looks like. You know, the opportunities to preserve that corridor around the river for wildlife habitat and other natural functions is really important. And as you expand your toolkit with cluster development ordinances or overlay ordinances to preserve the riparian corridor around the river, or transferring development rights to areas that may be more suitable for development that right near the river, you know, these are all tools that I think could be really valuable for your community. We've had several communities ask for maybe a model ordinance, and so we're contemplating doing something as a commission to provide a toolkit, and I've been communicating a little bit with Allie Avery on your staff about maybe developing some models that you might consider that could be useful to some of those preservation and open space development and management goals as well.
Thanks.
Thanks again for coming and for all you do.
Thank you, Mayor, and thanks, Council. Good to see you, and I'll let you continue.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next item is consideration of a closed session.
So as we've talked today, the mayor and I felt like it would be appropriate before we go into our regular meeting to go into a closed executive session to discuss the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual. So we can do that by motion.
I'll make a motion that we go into closed session for the purpose of discussing the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Let's do roll call starting.
Aye.
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 And Lisa says aye as well. So it's unanimous. We'll go into a closed session. We'll go into the conference room for that. Thank you.